Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship, where we love you enough to tell you the truth. On these programs, you will be able to follow our expository study of the authorized King James Version as we read verse by verse through books and occasionally tackle important topics for the purpose of helping Bible believers gain a thorough and accurate understanding of God's Word. We now invite you to join us in our study.
We believe that God can do whatever He wants to do. And He can do it when He wants to do it. And no man can put God in a box and say, now behave yourself. But that's what a lot of folks actually do in their theology. And so you'll pick up on some of these things as we continue to study. But this is a very important study. And Paul says so right off the bat in this first verse. So read that first verse with me. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. So God does not want us to be ignorant of this matter of spiritual gifts. And again, another extreme you'll find among a lot of local churches, especially, is they just try to pretend this doesn't exist. They don't deal with it. Of course, the churches who don't teach through the books of the Bible following the New Testament model, they can easily skip this because it's just not going to come up. But those of us who go through the books of the Bible deal with these issues. You may not agree with everything I teach, but the question isn't what I'm teaching. See, the question is, what does the Bible say? So if you disagree with me because you think the Bible says something differently, then that's the right attitude. Now, that's why Paul doesn't want us to be ignorant, is because if we're ignorant of these things, there's the potential for division. But if we're all studying these things together, especially, then we can be on the same page. And there's less likelihood of division on these matters. So we continue in verse 2. And read verse 2 with me. Ye know that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto these dumb idols, even as ye were led. Now, notice he says you were Gentiles. And in chapter 10 and verse 32, if you missed this and didn't mark it in your Bible previously, please do so now. Because the Bible says there are three kinds of people in the world today. And these three kinds of people are described in verse 32. Give none offense neither to one, the Jews, nor to number two, the Gentiles, nor to number three, the Church of God. You see, if you're here today and you've got Jewish blood in you, and in the eyes of God, you're not a Jew, you're a part of the Church of God. And if you are like me, I got a lot of different things in me, but I don't know of any Jewish blood in me. My sister says I'm related to Booker T. Washington and Jesse James and a bunch of other outlaws. but I don't have any Jewish blood. I know I'm pretty much a mutt Gentile physically. But in the eyes of God, I'm a member of the Church of God. So there are three types of people in this world. The unsaved who are Jewish, the unsaved who are Gentile, and the Church of God. So now you come back to verse 2 and you understand that ye were a Gentile. In the eyes of God now, He looks at you as the Church of God. And you were once led by dumb idols. Now, He's not just using that as an insult. You know, it's not nice to call somebody dumb. But what He means by this is that they're mute, they're voiceless. If you don't believe me, go to any of the local churches that have their idols out in their groves. Walk up to that statue of Mary or whatever it is. Start talking to her. Say, hey, how you doing today, Mary? Crickets. They don't answer. Why? Because they're dumb. They're dumb in the sense they don't speak. They're voiceless. Why? Because the idol itself is nothing. But the dangerous thing is once you begin to worship using idols and you start offering sacrifice and prayers to those idols, we read previously that you are actually sacrificing to devils. And we studied that over the last few weeks. And that's what's so dangerous about that practice. We're not like that. We're not Gentiles anymore. We're not supposed to use idols. We're not supposed to have groves. And that then leads us to verse 3. Read that with me. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, you will not speak publicly and profess that Jesus Christ is the Lord but by the Holy Spirit. Now, be careful with that. Because people can say Jesus is Lord. They can say that. And not by the Holy Spirit. What they won't say is that He is the Lord. Today you're seeing man after man in ministry and group after group saying Jesus is Lord, but He's not the Lord. Let's just go ahead and get along with everybody. You got your Lord, I got mine kind of thing. Amen? Well, anybody who contradicts that little word, the, don't worry about it, the, Jesus is the Lord. That's one of the reasons I wanted to sing that song, Come Quickly. If you notice in there, it says that people don't want to say that Jesus is the way. There's plenty of people who say He's a way, but they don't want to say He's the way. And that's what you're saying when you say Jesus is the Lord. And that is a true mark of division between the church of God and the rest. You can ask somebody, ask a church. There are churches all over town. These Universalist Unitarian churches are very outspoken in that. Jesus is all right, but He's not the way. But those kind of groups are multiplying as we get closer to the end. And so He wants to start here by saying, when we're talking about spiritual gifts, you better understand, first of all, whether you've got the right spirit. If you don't have the right spirit and you can't look me in the eye, whether it's Paul or Greg Miller or anybody in this room, you ought to be able to look them in the eye and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Lord. He's the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Jesus Himself and Jesus alone. And that's how I can tell we're starting off on the right footing. And then if you have the right spirit, now we can discuss gifts. Until you have the right spirit, there's no need to discuss the gifts. And by the way, keep in mind that as we discuss these gifts, a lot of the gifts that we're going to talk about, as they appear in the mainstream charismatic movement today, they also appear in these other groups who don't teach that Jesus is the Lord. So you have to compare what Scripture says to what you see, and also keep in mind that that same thing you're seeing in these churches where everybody just kind of, you know, all over the room, that same thing goes on with Mormons. That same thing goes on with in Roman Catholic churches and groups that don't even teach the new birth. That thing goes on with Hindus. It goes on with Buddhists. And I'm here to tell you, it goes on with Satanists. You saying that it's all Satan? I'm not saying those people are all Satanists. I'm just saying that there's something wrong when what you're doing is no different than the Satanists. And what you're doing is no different than the Buddhists and the Hindus and the Mormons and all the others who don't say Jesus is the Lord. So that's the kind of standard we have to set up. Now look at verse 4, and we go into this discussion now. In verse 4 he says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That means that if people have different gifts, they should not be contradictory, but they should be complementary. When you say you have this gift, and she says, I've got this gift, and that guy back there has this gift, they complement each other if they're of God. Now, it could be just one of those people are out of step, and they are not, they're putting on, or they don't really have that gift, and it's causing, but that's the kind of thing that you shouldn't see, because it's the same Spirit, and He's not going to cause division and discord. And verse 5, he goes on and says, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. Now notice it's basically a breakdown of a Trinitarian function there. When he refers to the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus, and God the Father in those three verses. And that the bottom line to these three verses is that God is not the author of confusion. And so when the gifts are in operation, it's not all about supernaturalism. It's not all about big, explosive moments and life changing. It's not like that. It's a God-given gift for the edifying of the body. And it's not going to, I'll throw this in ahead of time, we'll see this again later, it's not going to glorify the one with the gift. Did you hear that?
Not the one with the gift.
Yes. It should not, if it's of God, it will not glorify the one with the gift.
Amen.
Now you think of what's going on today in the charismatic movement, it's mainly a handful or into the dozens now of personality cults. And the person who supposedly has the gift is the one who's glorified. Their ministry is even named after them. Everything they sell has their picture on it. And it's, and they benefit from it by driving around in their Cadillacs and their $2 million homes. But you know what? Any of these people who are made their ministry about spiritual gifts and have made it about themselves, you're going to see them exposed. It's just a matter of time. And some of them have been exposed. They still have a huge following. But that's because they don't test things by the Scripture. And that's what we're going to do as we continue. Look at verse 7 now. Read verse 7 with me. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Who should profit? Should you get $1 million homes and Cadillacs and all that sort of thing? No, it's not to profit you. God doesn't give you this gift so that you can turn it into a cash cow. God gives you these gifts so that you can profit everyone. Others, not yourself. So as you ask yourself whether you or someone that claims to have any of these gifts, if it's profiting those that they minister to and not themselves, that's a mark that it's of God. If it's not profiting others, but it is profiting themselves, that's proof it's not of God. See how simple this is? It's really not that difficult. As long as people stick to the book and they test things by the book, then it really isn't that difficult. Now, verse 8. Let's read verses 8 through 11. I know that's a few verses, but I want to read these because he gives a list of the different types of gifts that we have there. Beginning in verse 8. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. And Mike and I were actually discussing this before the Bible study, and that the key to all those verses we just read are those last three words in verse 11. As he wills. You see, let's start off by saying this. These gifts are not given by the Spirit after everyone is worked into a certain frame of mind or a frenzy using music, repetitious lyrics, emotionalism, playing on your heartstrings, that sort of thing. This is not the gifts granted by the manipulation of the Spirit. These are gifts given as God wills, and they serve a purpose. And I'm going to say this, and this is so clear and biblical, and I hope you get this. These gifts are not normally given during a regular Bible meeting like we're having right now.
Right.
Read through the book of Acts. They didn't happen in church buildings. Those gifts that were given during the book of Acts, as God willed, happened in the streets. They happened when they walked upon someone who was ill outside of the church walls. There's something wrong when there's this movement that claims these gifts, but outside of their own church walls, they can't perform these supposed gifts that they have from God. You know, the Apostle Paul, for example, when he had the gifts of healing, they didn't have a children's hospital down the road. But Paul did go to where the sick were. He didn't say, get transportation, go through my bodyguards and my screeners, and then if you can make it through there, come up, and then if you have enough faith, you can be healed. That's not biblical. You won't find that anywhere in Scripture. When Paul had the gift of healing, just by the touch, the person was healed. No mention as to whether or not they even had faith. Keep that in mind. It's about the giver, not the gift. In verse 8, now when we began listing these gifts, there's a lot of debate as to what some of these things mean. And my point I want to make right off the bat is, if it's of God, there's not going to have to be a discussion. if God gives the gift, we don't have to debate it. So the very fact people are debating some of these things tells me that it's not of God. It's something that they're conjuring up or they think they have, and they're trying to prove that they have it. If you receive one of the gifts of the Spirit, you don't have to prove it to anybody. It's revealed to everybody. It's obvious. There's nobody in the book of Acts, and none of the apostles had to prove they had any of these gifts. It was right there for everyone to see. I'll tell you what, from my studies, what I believe these things are. Is first of all, the word of wisdom. There are people who lack wisdom. And there are people who just seem to lack the ability to make wise decisions in their lives. And so God can give a believer a word of wisdom to someone that you are intimately aware of their situation. You know what's going on. It's not you walking up and giving your opinion of what they're making a decision in their life. Well, I think this or I think that. That's not what we're talking about here, the word of wisdom. But a word of wisdom would be given without really much thought on the person speaking it, because God is just going to bring that out of their mouths. And they will share a word of wisdom with that person, so that that person, who maybe it's because they haven't matured, maybe they're not allowing things to be clear because they're allowing there to be some obstacles to clarity. There have been plenty of times I've seen someone speak a word of wisdom and that person ignore that word of wisdom. And, the next thing you know, they're in a bad relationship, a bad job, a bad school situation. And if they would listen to the word of wisdom shared with them, they could have avoided that. There's also the word of knowledge. There are a lot of people who cannot study as much as some other Christians can. And there are other people who just can't comprehend. There are other people who can't retain. But then you find these other people who can. And God has gifted them with the ability to retain and share this knowledge that they receive. And so then they can speak a word of knowledge to that person. And it's really that simple. And you go on in verse 9. To another faith. There are some folks that just find it hard to really function in the full confidence that God wants them to function in. There are people who are trepid, and God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And yet sometimes it does take someone else in the body to walk along this other person who's struggling in that area, and to really infuse them with faith, because they have the gift of faith. They have the gift of really trusting God and going forward and standing firm. And we sing it all the time, standing on the promises. But there are some folks who have trouble really standing. Now, we're not going to condemn them. We're going to help them. And it's one of the gifts that isn't listed here, and that is the gift of ignoring. Sometimes you just have to ignore what's being said to you by people. And that's hard for some folks to do. Someone will say something to them and they'll let that really just eat at them. And that's really, that's a skill maybe, not a gift. But you still sometimes just ignore what was just said to you. Another reference that I've already talked about there in verse 9 now is the gift of healing. And again, the gift of healing isn't that you can be healed if you have enough faith. That's not what the Bible is teaching. The Bible is teaching what you see in the book of Acts. That there is this gift of healing where God gifted certain men with the ability to heal. And it's just like Jesus and the apostles. And has that happened? I haven't seen it. I haven't experienced it. But I have heard stories. I've heard stories in when it was required, when it was necessary, that a missionary, for example, has laid hands on someone and prayed for them and they've been healed in miraculous ways. Now, I haven't seen it. I have a friend who had a debilitating injury on his hand. Well, not an injury, it was a growth. And he was really into things where he needed both hands. And a preacher who's now deceased walked in, prayed for him, put his hand on that thing, and it disappeared right before their eyes. I wasn't there. But I was told that's how it happened, and several eyewitnesses were there. Now, is that, again, where were they at? They were in his family room. They weren't in a church service. Where was that missionary at? He was out in the boondocks, the sticks somewhere. He wasn't in a church. See, and that's how, when this happens, that's what it's going to be like. It's not going to be during a church service where there just happens to be an offering plate. And if you sow your seed in my ministry, then God will, you know. That's a con job, and that's not what God's about. And let's go through a couple more of these. Well, we have verse 10, and then we'll sum this up. But in verse 10, he says, to another working of miracles. Now, what's that mean? It means what it says. Don't try to define this any other way than miracles. It could be anything. These are kind of areas where, again, we compare what happens in our midst to the Scripture. But don't go around telling everybody that they are wrong if they say that they've seen these things happen. Because that's extra-biblical revelation you're sharing there. You're trying to go beyond Scripture and correct people when you do that. He goes on, he says, discerning of spirits. Now, if I may say, I have experienced this gift. And you have to be very careful, because discerning of spirits involves being able to judge that something's wrong, even though there may not be tangible evidence of it. Everyone else may look and say, what? And you say, just, you're going to have to trust me on this. The Lord has shown me there's something wrong with this. I could go on the examples of this happening to me, but there was one situation where a fellow was involved in ministry, and I went to the person over him and said, you need to get him out of there. And he said, why? And I said, because he is trouble. But I had no tangible evidence of it. So I didn't even say that to the pastor. I just said, you need to get him out of there. He did. And the guy, a few weeks later, was busted and went to prison. The only thing I had to go on was discerning of spirits. There's also preachers that I've warned about here. Now, today we live in a day where you're never supposed to speak bad about anybody. That's not biblical. We have a message called the Judge Not Heresy. To say you're not to judge is a heresy. Not to judge hypocritically is true. Not to judge without knowledge is true, but judging biblical is biblical. And I've warned about some of these guys. And only later was it revealed. Now, and people said, how did you know that? Well, I didn't really know. I couldn't prove it, but I just knew. We had some friends who were going to this meeting where they claimed to be prophets and this stuff. You know, and I said, well, first of all, I went into what I thought was wrong about the whole thing. But then I found, I actually met one of these guys, and I said, there's something wrong with that guy. And to come to find out that, bingo. But you better be very careful that that's God telling you that, and you just not being suspicious or judgmental. That's why it's a discerning of spirits. It's a gift of the Spirit, not just something you go around judging people about. It goes on there and says diverse kinds of tongues. And we can say the interpretation of tongues. Again, I have never witnessed a legitimate instance of someone speaking in tongues and there being a legitimate interpretation of it. But I've had stories, both good and bad. On the one hand, in Germany, a missionary was preaching and gave an opportunity, or before he preached, he gave an opportunity for testimony. And it was a military service. All the people there were English. And someone stood up and started speaking in tongues. Well, several of the people there were bilingual. And they understood what he was saying. He was speaking German and he was blaspheming.
Mm-hmm, I've heard that.
And so they knew that wasn't of God. But then I talked to a missionary who was in Africa. He was asked to pray. And before he got up to pray, he gave a little short message in English. The people all around the place, they had a translator. He stopped translating. But he kept speaking. And he said, I didn't even realize the translator had stopped translating, because as I'm speaking, the people are shouting and praising the Lord. And there were several people came forward to be saved when you're preaching the gospel in English. But they heard in their own language. I wasn't there. So it's not something I'm telling you that I observed myself. But I've on numerous eyewitnesses to that account, it happened. But again, they weren't in a church. This was out in an open-air meeting where hundreds of people had gathered out in the street to hear the gospel in Africa, for example.
That would happen in Acts 2.
Yeah, that's it. Acts 2, see? So if what you're hearing about and seeing doesn't compare to Scripture, don't believe it. But if it's happening and it doesn't violate Scripture, then don't be a judge beyond the Scripture. And once again, we want to say this in closing, that the Scripture is our authority.
Amen.
The Scripture is our authority. I teach as God gives it to me, and I pray fervently to be solid on the Scripture. But you check everything you hear from me. You check everything you see going on with this book. This is our authority. And it's on the authority of this book that we can share the greatest of all gifts. Beyond gifts of healing or miracles or all these things that really get people's attention, what is the greatest gift? That is the gift of eternal life. That God gave His only begotten Son. There's a gift. He gave His only begotten Son. And when we share that message that Jesus Christ has been given to us, dying on the cross, He shed His blood, He's paid the full price for your sin, every sin. He was buried in a tomb and He rose bodily from the grave. He's alive. We serve a risen Savior. He conquered sin and death. And if you will believe that Jesus has died and paid for your sins, believing that He is risen from the dead, you're saved. And you've received the greatest of the gifts. And that's eternal life. Amen.
Be sure to visit our website at kjvbiblebelievers.com, where you can find a wealth of MP3 audio message downloads, along with additional videos, articles, and links. This message is brought to you by Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. I am Greg Miller. Thank you for listening.